Isn't this a sports show?
Also, one of my earbuds is making a horrible sound. It's just sort of
like...
It's
your own voice, Josh.
Crack...
Almost entirely.
But first,
a monologue.
Oh, God!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe, the fourth best sports talk radio host in Kansas City, according to one guy's defunct blog.
Not anything as many much. In many months. Why did you mark that?
English was hard right there for
you. I just skipped a word.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Now, I feel like I'm Cleopatra. Beards! Beards, feed me grapes!
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Just smack me in the face, because I've been bad.
On ESPN Kansas City.
This is the most off-season-y day of the year so far. I said that yesterday because the Chiefs introduced Steve Spagnuolo, and we got to talk about Landon Collins' locker cleanliness. Today is the day after that. And we are on to Zion's shoe. Ah, yes, February. We do get to talk about that, though. That's the main thing today. A handful of interesting things happening throughout the show today. The offseason will not take us to hell. Not yet. February will not claim our souls yet. We'll also have something interesting here at 425. Peter Gorton's a baseball historian, is going to join us. Talk about a story that I think you'll find really interesting. The player in the topic is... known as perhaps the greatest player you've never heard of. Found that out. And so we'll talk to him at 425. We got a bunch of headlines that we're going to get to around 5 in all likelihood here today. I'm always distracted by what's on TV. Do you have ESPN up in there, Beards?
Yes.
Woody Page is wearing a shirt and jacket that I believe is being somewhat transparent. His shirt collar is see-through. Around the Horn's doing this really interesting thing, and they've been doing it for a while, where they're existing kind of a VR space. They're all in front of green screens and everything. It's really, really interesting. But right now, I can see through Woody Page, and I don't want that on my television screen. You can't see through me, though, if you tune in. No green screens needed on Facebook. You can always watch the show on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. If you're watching there already, we'll take some questions and comments throughout the show today. G. Garcia in the comments asking how things are going. What's up, G? Long time no here. Is that a thing? Long time no here? Is that a sentence?
It works.
It works. You knew what I meant. So we can touch on some stuff throughout the comments today if we want to go that route. But the story of the day, oh yes, big bad national story of the day, is that last night we all agreed as a deprived of good content sports culture that we cared about a regular season basketball game. So we went and we tuned into ESPN. We decided that, you know what it's time to do? It's time to watch Duke, North Carolina. Because we need things. We need things to talk about. And this is a big game, but really, we get Zion Williamson, the guy that actually can move the needle in college basketball right now. And whenever I flipped over because I saw people tweeting about Zion never playing college basketball again. I went, what? I stream it through the ESPN app on my TV because I'm a millennial. And whenever I turned on my TV, that like feed wasn't open. So I was watching the end of LSU and somebody. It was an overtime game. I just flipped it on. I watched overtime. Then I went to go see if the Duke stream was up. It was. And I had missed my 30 seconds of Zion, found out thanks to Twitter, and then a bunch of videos on Twitter saw it as if I had seen it live, that his Nike exploded. His shoe blew up. He planted, the side gave out, it like slid up his shin as he laid on the court and held his knee. And that was pretty, I don't want to say that was the end of the intrigue, because I watched for a little while longer, and I think I fell asleep on the couch at like halftime. North Carolina won. And that matters way less than the story of the day. And I feel like we're due for one of these every once in a while. We get to have the exact same conversation with different names. It's either guys skipping college football bowl games, or it's Zion having a freak injury scare, and apparently it's not terribly serious. But the real story begins at a tweet I saw. Someone said, hopefully he'll return soon. This is where the conversation actually begins on a topic like this, and it happens every once in a while. Hopefully for who? In that instance, I assume you're talking about fans that want to watch him play in college. You're talking about Duke, I suppose. Maybe the NCAA. But if my shoe exploded while I was working for free and I was about to hit a big payday, I think I would go ahead and sit out, tap out, get ready to cash out. He's going to be the number one overall pick. What are we doing? And you can go to scholarships and education and insurance policies all you want, but these college athletes, like Zion, are playing at well below their market value, and they never had a chance to achieve market value. It's not like they're just outperforming a contract, and then that's going to eventually be taken care of. They're outperforming scholarships. I went to Mid-America Nazarene University, an AIA school. The kids at the time, I guess. Well, that's funny. We'll talk about the word kids later. But the kids on those teams being paid an education through their scholarship are probably getting market value. I enjoyed MNU just fine. We also are all pretty aware, I think, that it's not Duke. We talked briefly yesterday about the fact that the cheapest seats for that game were like $2,500. Largely because people wanted to go see Zion play college basketball. And if you were getting nachos at tip-off, you missed it. You got nothing for that investment as far as getting to see the best player in college basketball play. He has drawing power and staying power, and he can't even profit off of his own likeness yet. That's silly. And I don't feel like you have to make this more extreme to have a smart conversation about it. It's not that these guys make nothing. They get no value out of college. That's not true. We know that's not true. But we also know that it's not the be-all, end-all. Luka went... Well, actually, he didn't go till 3. I was saying he went 2. He should have gone 1 last year. But Luka Doncic played overseas, beefed up that highlight reel, went 3, and is going to be the rookie of the year in the NBA. That path worked out fine. Would he have gotten number 1 overall if he had come to America and played on a college team for a year? Maybe. I don't know. But his path seems like it worked out just fine. And there are guys that try to do it overseas and never quite achieve their ceiling. And the NCAA, if you're in that mold, playing college is good for your brand awareness, for moving up the charts. It's easier to be found playing for Duke than it is playing in Europe somewhere where you have a larger pool of guys you're scouting and all that. But whenever you're looking at being a lottery pick, we saw it locally last year with Michael Porter Jr. He could have gone straight to the league. Instead, he comes to Missouri, plays a few minutes, hurts his back, shows up in the tournament, doesn't look the same anymore. Eventually, the Nuggets take a sort of a flyer on him later in the first round. Don't even know what his recovery timeline is at this point, I don't think. Beard, you would probably know this better than I would. Is the plan for Michael Porter Jr. just he's not playing this year? Is that the loose plan?
I think so.
Okay. If you find anything different, let me know. I think that's pretty much where it's at. But you could have, and he was talented enough that he still was able to be a first-round draft pick, although it cost him millions and millions of dollars. the idea that the NCAA can exist. It's allowed to exist. The NCAA existing doesn't bother me, but the idea that it needs all of these ridiculous, and I would argue unjust, procedures that it makes all these players go through, the fact that it needs all of these different things to prop it up seems extraordinarily silly to me, and also like it becomes really obvious that it shouldn't exist in the form that it currently exists in. And I understand how the NBA wants guys to go through a year overseas or a year in college or whatever. I understand why the NBA has allowed this process to continue, because they want to see guys continually develop, so it's less guesswork for their teams to invest. But if a team decides that they want to make the investment, what's the use? So should Zion play again? He doesn't need to. And maybe he wants to play in the NCAA tournament or whatever, right? Wants to try to win a championship. That's all fine and good. And I'm sure everybody would love to hear, oh, his competitive spirit just won't let him sit out. But what if it's a different freak injury next time and it causes a back injury with no apparent timeline and no real way of being able to tell what kind of effect it's going to have on his long-term career? That happened to Michael Porter Jr. last year in our backyard. If you care at all about the athletes in question, these rules are silly. How old is Trevor Lawrence? I'll answer my own question. He's 19. I don't think many 19-year-olds would be ready to play in the NFL for a variety of levels, at a variety of reasons. But if there was a guy that you'd see an NFL team willing to take a flyer on at age 19, he would look exactly like Trevor Lawrence. Already 6'5", looked incredible for Clemson this year, playing quarterback, not inside linebacker. If he wanted to go to the NFL this year, wouldn't that be reasonable enough? Most guys wouldn't, because the physical toll on them would be too harsh. Zion certainly already has an NBA body. That's not a concern for him, right? Why are we playing this game? It's just really silly to me that we've got to, in every other aspect, this culture is so capitalistic. But whenever it comes to the earning potential of guys under the age of 20 or under the age of 25, all of a sudden, it's all about, no, you don't know what's best for you, I know what's best for you. If we're gonna hold on to all of this capitalism we love so much, let's get rid of the rules that don't let Zion go to the NBA if you're out of high school. Or don't let him make money off of his own likeness in college. I understand why the NCAA doesn't want to do it, and I understand why leagues don't want to encourage it. But if players want to take that risk and then put the ball in the court of the NBA or in the court of the NCAA or the court of the NFL, they should be allowed to. And then if every NBA team decides, no, you know what, we don't want Zion out of high school, then that's a risk miscalculated and an opportunity lost. But whenever you know you're the number one pick, and right now at this second, Zion will be the number one pick, if he doesn't dribble the ball one more time on an NCAA basketball court, why keep working for free? How many of you who may recoil at this, and I'm sure that there's a perfectly sizable group of you, how many people recoiling at this would voluntarily work for free instead of not working for free and then definitely making tons of money very soon? Media internships don't pay, at least very often. Mine didn't. I was working for free because I needed that. It wasn't that I had to sit out for a certain amount of time before I could get a media job. Like, that's... There are so many places where I'm trying to get ahead of the first, like, angry commenter or whatever. There aren't a lot of comparable situations from Zion to your life. Because most people aren't him. Almost no one is him. Maybe DeAndre Ayton was. You literally can only have one of those guys a year, and most years that doesn't exist. Where you know that you are working for free so far away from your extremely valuable earning potential. And it's very, very rare, if not, I don't know if there's anywhere throughout America where there's a setup like this for anyone older. College age, it's good for the people that make the rules, so the rules stay as they are, even as the rules are unjust. And that's what it comes down to. It's that simple. Why would we change the rules? We like them this way. It's great for Duke. Feels like every college coach other than John Calipari at some point gets... they get kind of uppity about one and dones. Duke is loving Zion. Puts you at the front of every talk show. Puts you at the top of the recruiting trails. Fills up your stadiums. The resale markets love it. The team bookstores love it. The people that sell Duke merchandise on any level love it. Everybody except for the labor, the workforce. But the players can't unionize. They can't make any of their own money off of their own likeness. So we get this. And there are still people that want to fight that, and it's really confusing to me. Maybe that is the actual more interesting part of it at this point. People would put up what argument up against this at this point? Why wouldn't you side with the workforce? But fans and media do that all the time. We'll talk about what the Steelers general manager said later. I think it's really interesting and pretty funny. But I imagine that there are people, and I've actually already seen Steelers fans, that defend what he said. Because I don't know why. In some cases, it's your team loyalty, I guess, right? You're going to defend the guy currently employed by the Steelers as opposed to a guy like Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, who are either no longer or about to no longer be employed by the laundry you root for. But why are you rooting for the industry? Why are you rooting for the big organization that makes its players work for nothing? It's really strange. It happens all the time. It's going to keep happening pretty much forever. We could also definitely expand this to talk about salary caps and the draft and all of that. If you wanted to move really far down that line of let's look capitalism rule everything. And then it kind of looks like baseball. But even baseball has minor leagues and all of that. For now, though, we'll talk about college sports. And lots of guys need it. Lots of guys use it to their own personal advantage. If you're just good enough, maybe it takes you 4 years to get on an NBA radar. Or you never really get on an NBA radar, but you get 4 years of education and positive experiences. This conversation's not about those guys, and it's never been about those guys. It's about the guys that way outperform those needs. It's a very small percentage of those people. Very small. But there's no reason that they should have to be punished or limited. So the one-and-done rule is for that very small percentage. So we know that the NCAA and also the NBA is willing to make rules for that small percentile. They just made them in the wrong direction. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to go to a baseball history place. I'll explain whenever we come back here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Almost Entirely Sports is a technical difficulty.
That's fair.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
The show within the show that Beards does is, I say this both as a compliment and an insult, the best part of Beards' working relationship with the show. You're both welcome, and I'm sorry. Our baseball history lesson will wait until later, question mark?
Shrug emoji.
Yep, we'll cross that bridge. Shrug emoji? You dialed one first, right, Beards?
Yeah.
I don't think the calls go out unless you do. I'm just trying to make sure if there's any way that this could be your, my, or our fault. Yeah, so, I mean, listen, the number that we got given to us didn't connect with where we're trying to get to, so this. I guess we can get to our Steelers conversation sooner. That's nice, right? Someone named Pete commented some dancing emojis on the Facebook feed. And I thought, oh, is that the same Peter we're supposed to? Nope. I do appreciate your emoji comment, though, Pete. Thank you for being here. On the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, it's half the place that you can witness us. Not half the place, one of the places you can witness us. We podcast everything every day on the Almost Entirely Sports podcast feeds in a variety of places. You know how I know that it's really that time in sports? We've got we have ESPN on in here most of the time up on our TVs in the studio. And they're repeating the same topics and all that. Like it's Zion and then it's UNC Duke and then it's something about LeBron and then it's a Steelers story that we're gonna get to here, and then it's Bryce Harper. But I think that across the main four shows, they've had repeat co-hosts at least twice. I think Frank Isola has been on PTIN around the horn. I think Dominique Foxworth was co-hosting on High Noon and Highly Questionable today.
I think it was Amin on Highly Questionable.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're right, because he's been in studio. You're right.
Close.
Frank Isola was on both shows, though. That's when I connected it. I hadn't connected the dots before now, but I'm pretty sure I saw Frank Isola on Around the Horn a second ago, and now he's also on PTI. I know that it's all tape, but I like to imagine him sprinting down the hallway, flustered, carrying a stack of papers, tearing off his, Around the Horn tie and putting on his PTI tie, or perhaps his PTI. But you know, man, we're going to get to the Steelers story in a second, but now I'm here. Now we're at this place. It's not even filibustering. Just I do have my email open in case this baseball history opportunity gets here when it gets here. I imagine that maybe we'll try to give it a shot on Sports Night tomorrow night or something. I'm there. By the way, tomorrow, special treat, question mark? We'll find out. Sean Collins is filling in for me over here tomorrow. I'm still doing Sports Night tomorrow night. But Sean's in for AES from 4 to 6. He was in with us last week as a guest. I really like Sean. I think if you like this show for all the things that this show does well and all the things this show does poorly, I think you'll like Sean. But he's in here on the show tomorrow. I got sports night tomorrow. I got sports Saturday on Saturday. But Sean's in here tomorrow filling in for me. I am going to be in the building, though. I realize that, Beards. This is just me telling Beards this, but I will be in the building at, like, noon tomorrow.
Darn.
It'll just be... I mean, listen, I'm not going to talk to you. I got 2 hours that I don't have to talk to you, and then 3 hours later that I do. I'll keep my space, I promise. But, This is the off-season space that I think is really fun and interesting for because you get to decide as a sports talk show, TV less so, radio certainly, and this show especially, you get to make some decisions. You get to make some choices about what it is that you want to do sort of schematically to pull you through 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And you can either take the rundown of national topics and then do what you can with those. But even these TV shows, they've got crews of producers and they're still just out here trying to wring 30 minutes of content minus commercial breaks. So we'll go local and we'll talk about local. We got, you know, an hour and change out of Steve Spagnuolo yesterday and all of that. But I just think it's funny to watch how the cycle churns and then how afraid people are of doing something weird or different. So now we go to our stupid sports calendar. Today is Thursday, the 21st of February, 2019. This calendar page, the category is what could go wrong? Promotional events that went wrong. Very wrong. Very, very wrong. Yep, okay. I read the first sentence and it's going to go wrong, I bet.
Oh boy.
The what could go wrong idea, setting off fireworks inside the Alamo Dome during a San Antonio Spurs pregame show in 1994.
First pregame 94. I have an idea. Keep going. No, I don't. Never mind.
What went wrong? You could actually ask, what went off?
Oh, no.
The stadium sprinkler system.
Oh, that's okay.
It's better than the whole stadium's, like, power. But the sprinkler system went off. The fireworks
that were supposed to, you know, not go off.
That's true. The fireworks went off without a hitch, but they set off the sprinklers. Water cannons. Cannons?
Oh, boy.
Water cannons. Don't you, oh, that's not a big deal whenever cannons are involved. Water cannons let loose, and the stands were flooded with water. It ended up causing a 50-minute rain delay, possibly the only indoor rain delay ever. And that's all because tomorrow is tomorrow.
Well, you won't be here tomorrow.
You know what I think you ought to do, Beards? So since Sean is filling in tomorrow and it's his first time hosting a radio show, as far as I know at least, solo hosting I would imagine at least, if things slow down tomorrow, Beards, you are the authoritative voice of this show tomorrow.
That's scary.
You are allowed to take a stick, a wooden spoon, and flap Sean on the forehead with it. Not literally, I think that's assault. But are you going to cut that so you can play it tomorrow whenever this happens?
Maybe.
Excellent.
Maybe.
So if tomorrow, at any point, you know, things start to slow down a little bit, I don't want to say come to a screeching halt, but just, you know, are at the breakneck pace that you personally would like for them to be, hit that space bar, womp, 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 womp. And you have to explain to Sean what he needs to do. If he can reach over here, he can grab tomorrow's calendar page. If he doesn't, then I'll do it on Monday. But I think that you should just have your original composition ready. And
might have a new one tomorrow.
You might do a Sean exclusive composition.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, at most it can be a remix. This the composition you wrote for this calendar is really important to me, and that it stays on brand. Have you already put it together? Like, did you know what you were that you were going to possibly have a different version for Sean tomorrow?
No, I might work on it. I haven't thought of what I'll do. I just know that I was probably going to do one. I have a couple ideas.
I wanted you to do a thing just then that you now I feel it. Now we're inside of the bit, and I'm disappointed. I'm whelmed. No, I'm underwhelmed by how this bit went.
I'm sorry. I'm getting other stuff ready for later. I'm preparing the urchin.
You're preparing the urchin.
You need a bath.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, I got an email that I need to address as far as this show. Can you give me 30 seconds on NBA literally anything?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you literally get the shot clock? Don't pull up notes. Beards, listen to me.
Well, no, I need to look at the schedule for tonight.
No, no. Listen, are there games tonight?
Yeah.
You could talk about whatever video game you're watching gameplay of earlier today. I need you to just talk for 30 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Do you have a shot clock?
Yes.
24 will do. Go.
NBA starts back tonight. Yay! Celtics play the Bucks tonight. That will be enjoyable. The Bucks are the best team in the East at the moment. The Lakers and the Rockets play as well. That will be actually on Sports Radio 810 later tonight if you want to listen to that. The Lakers are in desperation mode. LeBron's like, oh, I'm going to totally go into playoff mode. Probably start reading The Godfather again. Try and convince everybody who reads it every year.
What's your conspiracy theory on that front?
He's never read it.
He saw the movie.
Yes.
And carries the book around and pretends to read it every... What's his deal?
Just every playoffs he reads The Godfather book.
Allegedly.
No,
he says he does.
No. You see him. He like has it out and whatever. He's just reading on the sidelines before games. It's like,
do you think that he's still on his first read-through then? Because you said that you are alleging he's never read it.
Never read it completely. Listen, I've read The Godfather book. It is not as good as the movie.
So what I'm saying is, I need to know the specifics of your allegation here.
Well, there is either the option of he's just never read it and he's just opening up random pages and staring at it, or he's been reading it every playoffs, just like this is his only read-through. It's just every playoffs he reads a little bit more.
That's because I think that's your better conspiracy theory. Is that just like by the end of his 25th season, he'll be finally. You'll see him on the sidelines with like 30 pages left.
It's not a super long book either.
I don't know how many pages.
Well, now I gotta look. But it's not like comparison for me. Like I love books that are like 800 plus pages.
Intellectual snob. Really, just snob would do.
Thank you.
You're weird about that, man. You're a snob about, like fantasy novel series.
I like books.
What's the last one of those that you actually read with your eyes, out of curiosity?
I was rereading the Harry Potter books.
When was that?
This year. Got to book 6, and then I got distracted by other stuff.
Like Red Dead Redemption.
No. It was later than that.
Oh, you're right, because you're saying, in 2019 you were doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. Gotta find the book. Pages.
I know that if my mom's listening, she's going to hate this.
446. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's a long book, though.
Yeah.
My mom's going to burst into tears, but I can't think of the last time that I just read for the fun of it.
I've got a big old back catalog of books I need to read.
I am happy to work on my back catalog of movies I need to see. But,
I have a list on my computer that I've just made of all the
books
series.
That you want to read.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there are just a bunch I have at home that I haven't read yet that I need to. Some sports ones, some non-sports ones.
I'm trying to think of the last book that I've read just for kicks. There was an audiobook not terribly long ago that I was listening to just for the knowledge of it. That was, I don't remember what it was called. I like to sit and read. I listen to a ton of stuff. And so I could probably sell myself on a couple audio books if I felt like they'd be relevant on some level. Mm-hmm. But I bought the paperback version of Freakonomics a long time ago and read a little of it. But I'm doing stuff, man. I'm doing stuff with my hands. or I'm walking around. You just like you just sit in a chair and read books.
Well, when
that feels so, that just feels like impossible.
When
for me.
I was listening to that book series, the one that was 14 long, I had managed at the end when we were on vacation. I'd finished book 13 listening to it, and then I'd bought book 14 and just read it in the car ride in like 3 days.
Oh, the last book series I would have read would have been, I think, all of the Hunger Games books for a timeline for you there.
That was a while ago.
It was a while ago. I think that was the last time that I physically read books for kicks. And not because I was told to. Audiobooks totally get driving around easy, especially you got a super long commute. Like that, listen to stuff, absolutely. But like even whenever I'm not driving or moving, I'll be like doing something in Photoshop. And I'm like, I can't read and do that, obviously, so I'll listen to something.
So the current audiobook that I'm listening to.
You found the new like fantasy series, right?
Yeah. It's by the guy that finished the series that I was listening to earlier. I'm on track 34 out of 90. And I have 28 hours left. It's a big book.
That's a lot, man.
It's awesome.
That's a lot. I mean, it's like I'm listening to The Adventure Zone for a second playthrough. It's the McElroy brothers from My Brother and Me. They did a Dungeons and Dragons like real play podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to it for like entertainment through a slow sports time when sports radio is a little bit harder for me to listen to, even Lebatard. And also for a reason that I'll explain later. But like I'm listening to that again, and I actually think the first arc is 69 episodes long.
Nice.
I don't even think, I think that wasn't on purpose. It just ended up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There's no way it was that well planned out. I just simply don't believe it. No, you know what? It was, no, it was. Yeah, it was 16 episodes.
Yes.
And I'm listening to that again, and I'm enjoying it. But it's also, like, funny. And it makes me happy to listen to. I don't feel like I want to consume media. Well, I like movies, but movies are self-contained. Even, like, watching Breaking Bad was a lot for me. Like, it was just a freaking lot of content. It's a lot of hours.
I've got several TV shows I need to finish that I've been distracted on, like season 3 of True Detective.
Yeah,
I got like 3 or 4 episodes into that, was really loving it. It's way better than season 2, just haven't gone back and finished it. I'm like 6 or 7 episodes into season 1 of Counterpart, loving it, have a couple episodes left, just haven't gotten around to finishing it. It's really annoying.
Yeah, you gotta decide to do that.
I know.
That's kind of like, I understand that also, because you have to like commit to it, which this is why I watched like 4 seasons of The Office before I ever, like, I still haven't watched Pulp Fiction. They're both on Netflix. They're both very accessible to me.
Pulp Fiction's good.
But Pulp Fiction's like 2.5 hours, and I might sit there and watch The Office for 3 hours, but I didn't have to like make that commitment at the front end. I'm just going at it 20 minutes at a time. This is the problem. And so I don't know what to do with that. What are you staring at?
So I have a hot take. Okay. This isn't that hot of a take, but okay, it's my hot take. No book series should be turned into movies. It should only be TV shows.
I don't think that's that hot of a take.
I say this because this new series that I'm reading, apparently they're going to release a film of it.
Yeah.
The problem is the first book is about 1,200 pages long.
Yeah, right.
That's too much stuff for a movie. That's too much for 90 minutes, for 2 hours even.
So I haven't read the Lord of the Rings books. But I feel like that transition, it worked for me, not having read them. I read The Hobbit.
I read them. It was a long time ago. The way he writes, though, is very, like, kind of compact.
Mm.
So, like, he fits a lot of stuff into a less number of pages.
But it's still, that conversion rate is still pretty aggressive, though.
Yeah, but the movies are, like, 3 hours long.
I mean, that's true.
And they're also doing a TV series. They cut a bunch of stuff out of the movies, I think, if I remember correctly. But, like, when they did The Hobbit, I was fine with them making it 2 movies because I knew, because I love The Hobbit.
They started adding stuff.
Well,
what happened?
I know.
What were they?
It did not go in a good place as I thought it would, but
Peter,
I didn't
please
mind them starting with 2. It
the
just
orc!
Kinda, it just kind of did things.
It was a lot.
It was.
It was a lot, man.
Once they made it three, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, no, that was too much. That was just too much.
Yeah.
I think the, like, book to TV series thing, that makes a lot of sense,
now
right?
I'm just waiting for a Harry Potter Netflix show.
Oh, they're going to Daniel Radcliffe made headlines recently by saying they're going to reboot it. It wasn't saying it newsworthy, but he's saying, like, eventually they're going to reboot those movies.
That'd be okay with me.
Really?
Yeah.
You want the Harry Potter movie reboot?
No, TV series.
He was talking about the movies.
Oh, no. Movies are fine. I want a TV series.
Of the, going step for step with the books.
Yeah.
I don't know,
After
man.
Rereading the books and being like, oh, man, there's a lot here. Yes. That's part of the reason I say that. Because they fit 700 pages somehow into 2 hours. And it's like, you
but it
cut
worked,
a lot.
Though.
It did.
But it worked.
Sure.
And so, I don't...
But I love the books.
Yeah, but can't you just have good books and good movies and then like you just hit on like 17 and you got out of three. You're sitting at 20 right now. Stop. You're good. Just hold. Le'Veon Bell's blonde mustache is really, 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 really bad.
No.
The way you said that made it sound like you were disagreeing with me.
Oh, no, it's not good.
I think you love it. I think you just admitted just then that you actually think it's a great look and that you're going to do the same thing. You should do it. Can we
I'll
bet on something that
first.
Would... Could you... I mean, we don't... We no longer have a rotating disc of...
Hell.
Things you do after you lose bets. But I would like for that to show up as a bet for you at some point. Maybe it's for me, it's growing a mustache, and for you, it's bleaching your mustache. Because I think that doing the Antonio Brown in that regard would be hilarious.
No thanks.
It's a hilarious fictional punishment. This concludes today's segment of Planned Baseball History.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Now, it's time for Beards' book review.
Pew, pew, pew. What'd you think, Beards?
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
Very good.
This was Beards' book review.
Pew, pew, pew.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
We'll have our baseball history lesson. It'll happen in about 10 minutes, a little bit less. Beards, I'm going to need you to talk about your book series for about 30 seconds. It's like, got two more emails right away.
Oh, no. 2 minutes? Is that what she said?
I was exaggerating high, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
Literally, another 30. You don't even have to just talk about anything, Beards.
Ah!
Beards, no, stop yelling. I just need you to allow me to send an email that says, yeah, thanks, I got it. Why can't you just talk about something for 10 seconds?
I like to torment you, which is a very enjoyable thing that I do on occasion.
All you!
Okay, I have no idea what I'm doing here, as everybody I'm sure knows. Here's a headline that we have for later that I'll just...
I'm back. The email's done. You saying you didn't know how to talk for 30 seconds got me where I needed to go.
I did my job. Yes.
I would strongly disagree with that. Strongly disagree.
I'll save that headline for later then.
We will do headlines later. It'll just be around 5:25 or so. We'll get our baseball history lesson here in about 5 minutes. Listen, I understand, Beards. I understand that you are not using your, like, production value to try to, like, get you, like, a hosting job. I totally understand. And I'm grateful for that. But the idea that you couldn't just talk over this closed music for 54 seconds is worrisome to me. Are you okay?
I didn't do improv in high school.
Neither did I.
I read things.
Did in college.
I read things.
But you're in this industry, though.
I had a format.
That's true. You're right. That's true. But can't you just, like, tell a 30-second story about literally anything? But I don't mean...
Do you want to hear about the time I moved beds this morning?
Yes. What?
My dad and I moved beds. They got a new bed, so we moved their old one downstairs to my room. It's all memory foam, and it's a queen size.
But you are sleeping on your parents' mattress now, that's what you're saying?
Their old one. It's all memory foam. It's super nice.
It's kind of icky, though, right? I mean, like, I'm glad that you have a bed that has memory foam on it, but, like, I feel like this begs a lot of further questions.
10 seconds!
And this was a great story that I regret not starting sooner! See, you had a good thing, you just refused to share it! Share, Beard, share!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.